You have your Bibles this morning. Why don't you open them up to the book of Jonah, Jonah chapter 3 this morning. We're continuing a series of messages that we began 2 weeks ago after Independence Day. We've preached How to Save a Nation. We're going to continue that message, How to Save a Nation, part 2. We'll be looking at verses 5 through 8 of Jonah chapter 3. You've been sitting for a minute, so if you can and you're able, why don't you stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word, verses 5 through 8, Jonah chapter 3. Says here in verse 5, "So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way, and from the violence that is in their hands." Let us pray. Again, King Jesus, we thank you for this day. Thank you, God, for the blessings of life. Thank you for the sweet spirit we felt this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the presence of your saints. And thank you, Lord, this morning for the presence of your Son, Jesus. We pray now in this next preaching hour that, God, you would open our hearts and minds, that your spirit might be heavily upon me, God, that I might have liberty to preach, and that, Lord, this message might accomplish exactly what it is, Lord, you'd have your word to accomplish today. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. Save someone today here, God, if they're lost. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. May God add his blessings to the reading of his word. So as I said 2 weeks ago, we began this series of messages, How to Save a Nation. And these messages are exceptionally timely because we happen to live in a nation that needs to be saved this morning. I think these messages seem even more urgently needed as the world has changed since I first preached them. Would you not agree with that? If you doubt that, consider what happened since last Saturday when some wicked person attempted to assassinate one of our candidates for presidency. Consider everything that we've seen and heard and everything that's been said since that moment. And then think to yourself, doesn't this nation need the Lord? And are things not different now? Last time that I preached this message, we declared that this nation is less like Israel in the Bible, and it's more like Nineveh. I have a broken heart to say that. I wish I could call us a nation for the Lord. I wish I could call us a holy nation, a separated nation. But that is just not the case today. America's evil is great. And it's something that will bring the judgment of the Lord upon it if we don't repent. We proclaimed last time that if America will be saved, then someone must do the difficult work of telling the country that it must repent. That's the first step. And we decided and we were confirmed in the fact that I believe we are that messenger as the church. It's this church that the nation needs today. It's not somebody else. We can't go looking in the highways and the byways trying to find who it is that's going to tell America they need to repent. It's got to be the church today, brothers and sisters. We're the remnant that God has placed here for such a time as this. We're the ones that have to speak up and stand and tell this nation what is the truth. However, I think that it's important to understand that there's a major difference between the times that Jonah prophesied and the times that we live in today. If we lived under the law as Jonah did, oh boy, even more concerned than I already am about the fate of this nation. But gratefully, I can proclaim to you this morning that though Nineveh lived under the covenant of the law and was judged according to God's law. You and I live in an age of grace this morning. We live under the dispensation of grace, where Christ Jesus, as Brother Mike said, didn't remain on His throne in heaven apart from us, but He came down to rescue us from our sins. He is even here, as I said earlier, as His promised in His Word. He's gathered here in the midst of us, ready to speak, ready to save whoever would call upon His name. And so, for that reason, I have good hope today that Jesus can save this country. The Lord can send revival. The Lord can redeem if the nation will repent of its sins. But something's got to happen, church. The church will call for repentance, but then the nation itself has to do something. The nation has to turn to Jesus. And if it will, then Jesus can and will surely save. But I believe this morning that the nation has to humble itself first. This country has to give up its pride and it has to humble itself. If the nation of America, the United States of America, cannot humble itself, then it cannot do the important work of getting on its knees, repenting of its sin, and asking God to save it. And so in order for this nation today to be saved, it must follow the example of Nineveh, as we read here in verses 5 through 8, and it must humble itself. And if we're going to do that, then I think there's three things that we have to think about, that we have to consider, and I want to share those with you this morning. Here is the path for America to humble itself before God. Number one, it has to do what Nineveh did, and it has to believe God. America today has to believe God. We live in a day and age of unbelief, church. We are amongst people. We are going to work with them. We're going to school with them. There are people in our own families who simply do not believe God. And God will not save those who don't believe. That's the basics of the gospel. And so if the nation's going to humble itself, then it has to be in the place that Nineveh was at, and it has to believe God. Now, there's two things that I think belief hinges upon. And I believe the first one of those characteristics is that belief hinges upon the truth of the message. If I told you today, y'all didn't know this, but Pastor Josh, he's been working on his pilot's license. And I only got one laugh at that. Y'all are. He's been working hard. You got to get a lot of hours in to be a pilot, by the way. And I've got a little two-seater plane I keep in the backyard. And pretty soon I'm going to have my pilot license. In fact, I'm looking for someone to go up with me for my first official flight. No hands went up. I can't believe that. Do y'all not believe that? Oh, Charlie raised his hand. Thanks, Charlie. Y'all wouldn't believe that, right? You know, Josh, number one, doesn't have a plane. You don't see it. It ain't out there. All right. Number two, I don't know if any of you have ever ridden with me in a car. My mother wouldn't teach me how to drive because she wouldn't get in the car with me. All right. When I was growing up, I didn't get my driver's license until I was 18 because I had to figure it out on my own. All right. Every time I got in the car, she would hold on and say, Joshua, Joshua, Joshua. She still does. All right. So you don't believe that, do you, Mom? You don't believe I got a pilot's license, all right? That's a key part of the message, church. If the message that's being delivered isn't true, that's going to seriously hinder somebody's ability to be able to believe it this morning, okay? And so if the nation is going to believe God, then we have to have a message that's true. Well, thank the Lord this morning. We happen to have a message that's true today, church. When we look at the case of Nineveh, it was absolutely true. What Jonah was telling Nineveh, there was no doubt. 40 days, and the city would be destroyed. How do we know? Because God said it, and God cannot lie. So God said that in 40 days I'll destroy Nineveh, and that message was believed by the people, and so they humbled themselves and sought repentance. Now, how can we be sure in the case of America that judgment's coming? Well, we've got some examples from God's Word. First of all, the Bible teaches us that God is angry with the wicked. Psalm chapter 7, verse 11 says that God judgeth the righteous. And God is angry with the wicked when? Every day. Goes on to say, if he turn not, he will whet his sword. He hath bent his bow and made it ready. The Bible teaches us that every day the wickedness of this world vexes a righteous God. That if the Lord doesn't repent, the Lord doesn't turn from his judgment, then the judgment certainly is coming for those wicked people who live in this world today. That's as sure and as certain as anything can be. And it's coming for America if America won't humble itself. God also, the Bible tells us, has judged nations before, and he'll judge them again. Psalm 110 says, the Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. Church, if you doubt that, you need but look at the Word of God to learn the truth of it. Where are the people who lived before the flood? They're not here today. None of their descendants are here. There's no remnant of their civilization because God wiped it off the face of the world. Where is the people who schemed and had their plans at the Tower of Babel? Where are the pharaohs of Egypt, those mighty kings of old? Where is the mighty empire of Babylon, Rome, and Assyria today? They're all gone, church. The Lord's been judging the nations since the beginning, and he'll judge America as well if the nation won't believe. But here's the simplest reason, church, why we can believe the truth that judgment is coming for this country. And I wrote it in big italics in my notes so I would know it. Here's the simplest reason why I know judgment's coming for America. Because America cannot continue to get away with what it's getting away with. It cannot continue to be producing the wickedness and the evil. And not only producing it, but do you know we're exporting it now? Do you know there's other countries in this world who don't want their children and their young people listening to what's coming out of America? Because these crazy things that we're doing, oh, there's 27 genders. Oh, you know, you can just do whatever you want, be whatever you want, define all that. These things, they don't want their children learning about it because they know it's evil. Can you believe that? How far removed are we from where God was doing mighty works through this country, where we were sending out missionaries and we were sending out the gospel and people were being blessed and saved through the work of this nation? Now people are shutting their ears up to what's coming out of our country because they're afraid of the wickedness that we're producing. Church, America can't keep getting away with our evil. How do I know that? Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. You know this verse. Paul writes it. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And church, what has America been sowing? Well, since 1973, it's estimated, you're gonna be shocked at this. It's estimated that since 1973, we've killed 63 million children in the womb in America. 63 million. I heard one group of young people today. They're not even Christians. They say, we don't believe in abortion because you've killed half our generation to the people that's come before them. That's not all. All the remnants of God and His Word are being driven out of our government and its laws. Christianity at large has been replaced with secularism. That's the driving moral force in our country today. If you don't believe that, I'm not going to be political. I'm just going to tell you the truth, church. The Republican Party, the Christian Party, the Conservative Party, right? The fundamental belief party has removed their opposition to abortion from their platform. Did you see that? They've removed their opposition to traditional marriage from their platform. They're gone. And it's replaced with, oh, well, we have tradition. We have value. That's our guiding. Listen, church, if we remove the truth from our values and we replace it with a lie, the foundation's going to begin to crumble. Secularism, a moral relativity, is taking the place of God's Word. The family's been obliterated. Marriage has been made of little consequence. Living out of wedlock is no issue at all. There are no fathers leading their families. There are no mothers in their homes. Wombs, this is tremendously heartbreaking for me, wombs are bought and sold in surrogacy. And the children produced from these sad arrangements enter the world in a confused and a holy state. I'm not just talking, you know, we're at this place where, oh, surrogacy is for just couples who are infertile and they can't have their own children. A major pop star this week said, I think I'm going to have three different children from three different eggs with three different mothers. And we'll have triplets and won't it be so fun? What wickedness are we doing in this world where we're taking God's concepts of the family and children and raising, and we're just ripping apart the reality of what God has set in place for them. The government and our schools have set out to systematically replace our values with our own, confusing our children with their lies and making it so that they even doubt what gender it was, what sex it was that God designed for them at their creation. Church, I could go on and I could go on. But I'll ask you this morning, if that's what the country's been sowing, what else but judgment could we reap? No, this message is true. That's the first pillar of how we believe something. The second pillar that belief hinges upon is the character of the messenger. Church, the character of the messenger matters. Whether this country believes God, I believe ultimately will depend upon who is telling them that the judgment is coming. In this case, I believe that only the church is capable in the church age of warning America from its sin. Now, I said that part of the reason why America is in the state that it's in last time I preached this message is because the church has failed. It's a sobering reality. That can be a heartbreaking thing for many of you who've dedicated your life to the church. I know that. Who've dedicated your resources and your service, and you've been faithful. And so it breaks your heart. It hurts you personally when someone says, well, the church has failed. Well, I want to tell you, I believe God can use that, church. God is able, church, to use where we've come short and can use that to validate and authorize its message so that it will hear and better understand what it has to do in order to be saved. I want you to know that even if the church has made mistakes, that doesn't mean that God can't use it to turn this nation around. In fact, maybe through its failure, God can use the church more greatly than ever before. Do you know that that's what God did with Jonah? The book of Jonah, we started this message in chapter 3. There are two chapters before that. The first chapter says, and the word of the Lord came to Jonah that he should go and preach to Nineveh. And what did Jonah do? No thanks. And so he turned and he ran, and God dealt with that. And then chapter 3, it's a parallel. It says in chapter 3, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. And Jonah had another opportunity to be faithful to the witness that God had given him. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I want to go a little bit deeper. Do y'all know a lot about, let me ask you, y'all, are y'all ancient Assyrian scholars in here? All right. Y'all know a lot about them? Does anybody know who Assyria's chief deity was at that time? Anybody have any idea? No? It was an entity called Dagon. D-A-G-O-N. Now let's be clear. Dagon was a demon, okay? Just like any other false god that men and women might pray to even today, okay? I'm talking about Buddha, Hindu, Joseph Smith, whoever you want to name, okay? Who's preaching some other message other than the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a false god empowered by demonic activity, okay? Let's just name it clearly. So Dagon was a demon, but his lore was that he was the fish god. He was half man, half fish. He was a god of bounty. They were a port city. They relied heavily upon the oceans and trade. And so they prayed to this Dagon, the fish god, and asked him to bless their work. Now listen to me. When I say that God can use our failures to empower our message, what do you think the people of Nineveh thought when that prophet showed up and he said, 40 days, if you don't repent of your sins, God will destroy the city. And word started going around about this. In fact, the Bible we just read, it said word got to the king about this message. What do you think those fish god worshiping people thought when they heard how Jonah got to Nineveh? Well, he was swallowed by a fish and spit up about 3 days away, and he survived 3 days and three nights in the belly of a great fish. What do you think those people thought? Oh my goodness, our doom really is upon us, isn't it? It shook them to their core. So I'm telling you, church, even if the church has failed, even if we've shirked our duty, even if we've allowed evil to reign in this land, that doesn't stop God from giving us a second, a third, a fourth chance to preach the truth today and for this nation to believe it. In fact, I think this nation's full of people who need second, third, and fourth, and fifth chances. I think I'm preaching to some people this morning who know they need second, third, and fourth, and fifth chances. So maybe it would help the church today to understand that it wasn't us who went to God. It was God who came to us. And we said no a few times. And then finally, out of His mercy, He came once more and we put our faith and trust in Him. And that's the only reason we are here. We are. We are not any better than this nation. We are just sinners saved by grace. Maybe that's the message this nation needs to hear. No, we're not perfect. No, we don't have it all together. No, we're not the authority, but we know the God who is this morning. And if you'll believe today, God will save your soul. He'll save your life. He'll save your family. He'll save your country. We serve the God today who raised up Esther to come to the kingdom for such a time as this. The church shouldn't be proud of its failures. Never that. But maybe God knew that in order for this country to humble itself, it needed to hear from a church that had been humbled first. Maybe a country that's compromised on every one of its values it once held dear needs to hear from a church who has repented of its compromise, and we've said we're not going any further. In fact, we're going to take back the ground that we lost, and we're going to stand on the gospel truth today. Maybe that's what the nation needs to hear from a church who's done that. Maybe the country that needs forgiveness as desperately as America needs to hear from a church who's begged for forgiveness for itself first. That's the character that the messenger needs to have for this nation to be saved. Church, I can't tell you what will happen to America. But I can tell you today what Nineveh did. Nineveh believed God. And that led them down the road to repentance. I've got more to preach. I got two more points. I'm not going to preach them. I've gone too long. Church, if this nation... I'll end with this. Have you ever heard or said, I'm proud to be an American? Rah, rah, rah. Proud to be American. And listen, America's been good to us, church. That's because God's been good to you at first. But we have freedom here. We have prosperity. We have full bellies, food on our tables. We've got everything we could ask for, or want, or need here in this country available to us. God's been good to us in this country. It's okay. And I'm so thankful. I thought about this as I was studying. I'm glad God's given me an opportunity to say this. People who sacrificed to serve this country, I don't ever want to tell you that sacrifice was in vain, because it was not. It was worthwhile. The price you paid. Don't misinterpret me for taking this from granted, because I'm not, okay? But I'm telling you, as good as it's been to be an American over the years, I think this nation's coming to the point where we need to stop being so proud to be an American. We need to give up that pride, and we just need to wholly cast our dependence upon the Lord. And this nation, if they're going to do that, they have to believe what God is saying. And I truly believe that God is saying today, if you don't turn from your wicked ways, I'm going to destroy your nation. That's our witness today, church. It's sobering. We may not want to preach it. We may not want to teach it. Jonah certainly didn't. But if they're going to believe, it depends on the truth of the message. The message is true today. No shadow of a doubt. But it's also going to depend on the messenger. And that's where we got to look in the mirror. Say, are we ready, church, to be the messengers that we need to save this country? Will you bow your heads and close your eyes this morning? I know that we're living in a time right now of tumult, turmoil. If you have not had some anxiety about what's happening in this country, or at least the temptation of anxiety, boy, I want whatever you're on, because I'm telling you, it's tough right now in this world. In this nation, things are up in the air. They're scary. They're frightening. As I taught in Sunday school this morning, the nations don't rise and fall on their own merit. The nations rise and fall upon their dependence upon the Lord. And God has promised the church, a church that He commanded to go to the ends of the earth, that He will be with us always, even until the end of the age. Not until just short of the age, when times are evil and hearts are failing. Not until they get so bad that they begin to outlaw Christianity and they begin to cast us into prison and they begin to kill us. No. Christ promised to be with us all the way. And so, as I meditate upon this message we just preached, if the nation is going to humble itself, it has to believe God. And if it's going to believe God, then the message has to be true. Well, there's no fault there. The message is certainly true. The message needs nothing else. The message is good to preach and teach. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That leaves it for the messenger then. Because belief hinges upon that messenger. the character, the integrity, the validity of whoever that messenger is. God, help us to acknowledge this morning. Help us to realize. Help us to know that every day we walk out into this world, we are sharing the truth. Help us to see the families in need. Help us to see the people who need the message of hope. Help us to have opportunities to speak to our leaders and tell them what's coming, God, if we won't repent. And help us to humble ourselves first so that we can lead a nation to humble itself before you. God, we give you the glory and the honor. We understand, God, that this is all upon your grace. God, we cry out this morning. We intercede on behalf of our country. We ask you, God, to have mercy. Forgive us. Use us. Help us, Lord, to share with this country what first was shared with us. Jesus came to seek and to save. Believe on Him. He'll rescue from damnation. It's what this country needs to hear, church. Help us to take it seriously, Lord. We love you. We thank you, God, for everything you've done for us. Bless fellowship today as we refocus and dedicate ourselves upon this truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. That wasn't exactly what I had planned this morning, but that was what the Lord had to say. So we say, thank you, Jesus.